Did he get his turkey?
He don't like turkey, you know that.
He's got to have a piece of turkey.
Why?
Because I made it.
Yeah, but your turkey sucks.
Listen. Angry mom, you better eat my angry turkey.
Fuck off, you and your turkey.
It's time for... another wrestling podcast.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 173. I'm Credo.
I'm Minority Mike.
And I am the social assassin, Angry Cooter, bitches.
Gobble, gobble, bitches. That's it. It's Thanksgiving week. It's the week of hangovers, lots of food, and lots of wrestling. It's a lot of wrestling that happened this weekend. A lot of things have happened. Some debuts, some big upsets, some... Why did that even happen? But, guys, what a week. It's did you enjoy Survivor Series? Did you enjoy NXT War Games? How was your weekend?
Oh, God. Let me explain something. You're absolutely right. It is Thanksgiving week. And the day before Thanksgiving, as I like to call it, amateur night. Yes. You said gobble, gobble, bitches, but bitches will definitely be gobbling on amateur night. What do you think about that, Mike, huh?
You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. We're going to make them.
Put them right in hers, didn't I?
Yeah. Gobble, gobble.
We have that explicit mark for this reason on iTunes, so hey, tis the season, guys. But crazy, let's just start from the first show. I mean, if you guys are a little quick takeaway, I mean, NXT War Games was a little bit different. Everybody wanted to see War Games. Guys, did it deliver? Was it everything and every, you know, anything that they said it was going to be? I mean, did you have fun? It's NXT. It's War Games. You had to enjoy it, right?
I thought that show delivered for... And I think I've mentioned this for the last TakeOver program, where it was a roster that didn't have many big names as it used to, but they delivered. The same thing happened for this past weekend with War Games. It just delivered. Everybody was just shitting all over the new rules for War Games with the shark cages. There's too many cages, this, that, and the third. And I thought that match delivered. And I'm just going to bring up the fact that Velveteen Dream... I mean, I remember a month or two ago, you guys were shitting on this guy, saying he's never going to make it, and now all of a sudden he's putting on the match of the night. I mean, this guy Patrick Clark, he didn't win Tough Enough, and now he's more over on that NXT roster right now than most of the guys. That match was incredible.
Let me explain something to you. I did not shit on the Velveteen Dream. I was on the bandwagon right from the start.
Oh, you know what? I apologize, Cooter, because you actually agreed with me.
He's on the list of Credo, I'll tell you that.
He's on the list of Credo.
Yeah, when I said that he is taking a chance on something just to get some TV time, you actually agreed with me, so I do apologize.
But yeah, I'll admit it when I'm wrong, but I'll tell you what. I still have gripes with him. He's still on my list. You know... What he did that weekend, I don't know where – I don't think this has happened before, but he definitely touched his inner Rick Rude that weekend with those tights. Just that whole match, man. It was definitely different. I'm still not digging the name, man. Just go by VD or just Dream or, you know, something.
Venereal disease?
Yeah, I know. Hey, there you go. Something that's
Vic
a little
Delicious,
bit different.
Vic Delicious might take, you know – a little argument with that name. I don't know. A little VD.
Yeah, but I mean,
listen. If that DDT that he pulled out at the end of that match did not take him off the list of Credo, along with James Ellsworth and your boy, I'm just happy to be here, Jason Jordan, and yes, the Japanese. Then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, Credo. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Until he changes that name, I still have little gripes. It's like one of those little things. Like, you know when you just see somebody and just hate them? It's one of those things. But, you know, I'll tell you what. That was an incredible match. It was the match of the night, I think, on NXT. Even better than the War Games match, I think. But it definitely stood out. It definitely is going to send the guy in the right direction. And a few tweaks here and there, and maybe he can come off the list. I don't know. But, hey, all right. I think we're all in agreement of that match, right?
Oh, absolutely. There was some lows. And I want to bring up the Lars Sullivan Cassius Ohno match, which I was shitting on it. They actually put this on the on the card, but you left off Johnny Gargano.
Oh my god!
Versus Pete Dunne. And I'm like, I can't wait to see this. We're actually recording Tuesday. I want to see this tomorrow. That's the reason why I'm watching that show, because that should have been on the card. And that match was absolutely terrible. That Sullivan Cassius, and I've been big on Lars Sullivan, but this was his moment, and I think he kind of blew it.
Yeah,
absolutely. That match was just, I mean, that was not the way you open up a takeover. I think out of all the takeovers, is every takeover has that match that opens the show that just like gets everybody going. That match actually was just bad. And, you know, Lars Sullivan is the big guy that they're trying to push to be the NXT version of Brock Lesnar. He's not there yet. He's nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime in the future, give him more time in the Performance Center. He'll probably, you know, fix everything that he messed up on, but he's just not there. He doesn't do it for me right now. I don't see him as just like a threat or anything. He doesn't do anything for me.
I had hopes for the match, being that it was against that grizzled vet Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero. I mean, I really thought that this could have been something, but it was a whole
during that match
line right there.
I think during that match, Cassius Ohno got fatter.
There you go. Oh, man. Well, you guys, a lot of great matches. I mean, let me get your input on this War Games match. A lot of people are like, oh, the top of the cage isn't covered. And I was like, I get why they did it. But at the same time, all right, they changed it a little bit. But was this really the kind of War Games you were expecting? The two rings, the cage, they're letting like the both team members in at the same time. And I don't know. Did you enjoy it? Was it different? Is it something you think they're going to do every year now at Survivor Series?
I would hope so. I was happy that there was no fucking top of the cage, and I said it last week. I mean, the last thing we need is a Psycho Sid botched powerbomb like what he did with Brian Pillman, where he banged his head up. Because could you imagine the Authors of Pain trying to do that fucking collider powerbomb maneuver they do, and they just bang both the heads on the top of the cage by accident and botched that spot. And like I said, I mean, you had that interesting spot where what's-his-face climbed up to the cage and was trying to hide there, and then there was some dives, and there was the suplex off the top. There's no way you would have been able to have a spot like that with a top in the cage. But overall, I thought it was an incredible match. It delivered. It lived up to the hype. I really hope they bring it, not necessarily every year, but for a big feud. And maybe change up the format. I was okay with the format, the three-team thing. I thought it was a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to say I was on the fence. I was excited to see War Games. But, you know, just hearing everybody complain about there's no roof, the shark cages. The shark cages kind of threw me off a little bit just because I think there's just too many cages. But it actually played out good. And I actually did like the three teams. The original was just 2 5-man teams. This was 3 3-man teams. I thought it worked out good. And letting two guys in at the same time, I mean, it may have killed time rather than doing just one guy at a time. The whole Adam Cole spot on top of the cage was great. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Alexander Wolfe just busted open. This one spot where he...
Oh, yeah. They kept taking the camera off of him, too, because...
Yeah. I saw the pictures of him. Fans were posting pictures. He had a crimson mask.
You know, they really are behind Adam Cole, too. I mean, I was kind of thinking, you know, it might have went to Roderick Strong or something like that. I don't know. I really wasn't sure who was going to win this. But, I mean, hey, Adam Cole, baby. You know, he stood out in the end, and won for the team. So, I don't know, guys. Undisputed error. They're pretty much getting pushed to the moon, right?
Well, let's talk about something else real quick on this card. The fact that Kairi Sane did not win the NXT Women's Champion, we know, made you very happy. But what are your thoughts on Andrade Cien Almas, new NXT
champion?
That was a
surprise.
Thought it was a great match, and I thought he almost killed your boy with that fucking DDT.
I love the fact that they did that. I mean, that's what I wanted. I didn't think they were going to do it, but that's exactly what I wanted. And it happened, and it was great. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but that celebration with Andres. I can't even. He's the champ, and I can.
Andrade Siena
Almas. There we go. His celebration seemed really long.
Yeah.
I don't know if the producers might have like messed up on something and just told him to continue celebrating, or like that the match was too short. I don't know, but it just seemed a lot longer than what it should have been. But other than that, the match was great. I mean, apparently Drew McIntyre got injured during the match. I don't know if it's kayfabe or it's legit. But apparently he's injured. He's going to be out for a little bit. Other than that, Ember Moon winning the women's title. You know, I kind of wanted to see Nikki Cross get the title.
Thank you.
But
thank you, my boo.
But
she will always be my boo.
But Ember Moon, you know, she still doesn't do it for me. She's a great performer, don't get me wrong, but just the character, I just you're a werewolf. I don't know.
Yeah, what the fuck is she supposed to be? Somebody explain this to me.
I don't know, but I mean, congrats to her. I can't take away from her performance. She's great in the ring. I just, character wise, she just doesn't do it for me.
I want to know like the backstage story of why they didn't put it on her, like when she fought Asuka two times, and then I know she was injured and so on and so forth, but still, it was like something had to happen where they didn't want to give it to her. I want to know like what the reason was or whatnot, because it's like after all that, I figure it would have went to like a Peyton Royce or Nikki Cross. Just somebody totally different, because I was like, well, maybe they just don't really want her to win, you know? It was like, but after all that, she did win.
I think if it would have went on Peyton Royce, that would have been great, honestly. Nikki Cross was a choice, but now that I think about it, the iconic duo having that title, I think they're brilliant regardless, these two Aussie girls, but I think when you put the title on them, it's like Lay Cool all over again, and I actually did enjoy Lay Cool.
Mm. Well, guys, you know, War Games was great. Survivor Series was also – I thought it was a solid show, but it was one of those things to where the longer it goes, the worse it gets. And like I said, let me hear you out. Hear me out to where I didn't mind really anything during Survivor Series. I liked all the matches. You know, nothing was like, oh, this fucking sucks. Nothing. Like, I enjoyed it. If you put them both together in my point of view, Survivor Series versus NXT War Games, I think NXT War Games was better only because of the time. When you're making another show 4 hours long and you're just making it long just because, it's like, come on. Unless it's worth being 4 hours long, you know, then I understand, but it's one of those things, I guess the longer it goes, it's just, you lose kind of value in it. So that's why, and at the end of the day, like I said, I love both of these shows, but it just, the longer it went, it was like, if you compare them, NXT gets the upper hand on that. But guys, did you have the same kind of feeling, or did you... What did you think? Who won this weekend? Survivor Series, NXT? Who had the better card, or just the better show?
On paper, the card for Survivor Series was better, but I said this before. It seems that whenever you have low expectations for an NXT card due to the lack of talent, it always hits hard and makes you say, holy shit. There's always something on that card that you want to watch at least twice. And there... I had to watch that pay-per-view a second time. Survivor Series, you know what? I'm not mad that I watched it. I'm not mad that I DVR'd Walking Dead, you know? But, you know, Enzo Amore and Kalisto was on that card. Why? I know we need filler, but why?
They were on the pre-show.
Listen, the pre-show is part of the pay-per-view now. It is what it is.
Okay. Survivor Series for me was a good card. It wasn't great. I don't think it lived up the expectation, especially the 5-on-5 tag match, which I'll get into in a second. That Brock versus AJ match was just amazing, in my opinion. I thought both guys did a tremendous job. Brock did great selling for AJ. You know, there was a point in the match where they made you believe that AJ actually had a chance to win this match with the storytelling going on in there. I thought that was definitely the match of the night. Wasn't the match of the weekend, but it was definitely the match of the night. Now we get to the match that they have been hyping up for about a month and a half now with the 5-on-5 Raw versus SmackDown. There were some good entertaining spots in it. Like I like the interaction between Balor and Nakamura. then you got to see, like, you know, matches that you probably will never see again, where, like, you saw Randy Orton, Finn Balor, or Randy Orton, Samoa Joe. But then it just I don't know, something about it. There was a guy in there that just stood out like a sore thumb, and we can't see him. And I couldn't see him in this match. It made no sense for him to be there. Like, all right, I understand if Cena's there to put over a guy like Braun Strowman or Finn Balor or even a Samoa Joe, those guys that are going to be your future. But, I mean, Kurt Angle got the pinfall on John Cena.
Man, and he did not even get the memo about wearing blue.
No,
fucking not at all. Green, and don't even say his jorts were blue or he had some blue in his shoes. It doesn't count. You got to wear the damn shirt. Fucking Nakamura had a shirt. You got to wear the damn shirt.
He was out there promoting his new lime green shirt.
That's all he was there for, to sell more merch.
And then you know another grievance I had with John Cena. Okay, so he's a SmackDown guy, right? When he comes out, he goes to the announce table. Who does he give a five to?
Oh, Booker shit. T. You're right. Yes.
Booker T. A Raw guy. What the hell is wrong with this?
Oh, John Cena. It's
the 5-on-5 to me. I mean, it was cool to see a guy like Braun Strowman being one of the survivors. And I hate the fact that they say sole survivors.
Soul Survivor is one, fuckers. Yeah, really.
They kept saying Soul Survivors. It was driving me nuts. But it's like, I didn't understand what they were going. They opened a drop down menu of possible feuds for Triple H at the end. A guy, nine time. How are you going to do this? Like, I don't get this. You're going to have Jason Jordan, then you got Kurt Angle, then you got a potential feud with Braun Strowman. How are you going to do this when he was a part-time guy? I don't understand this. I don't understand this booking. The fact that I may be, you know, I'm proud to admit I'm a huge Finn Balor mark. Sometimes I could be very biased with Finn Balor because he's one of my favorite wrestlers. But the fact that I think he should have got the pinfall on John Cena. He should have been at least a little more dominant. I mean, I love the fact that he almost murdered Shane McMahon with that kick. And then he was on this, like, tear, and all of a sudden, one little RKO, and he's dead.
Yep.
And then, like, at the end of the match, you had the Ruthless Aggression guys standing tall, meaning you had Kurt Angle was there, Shane McMahon was there, who else was there? Triple H. And then Braun Strowman.
Shane, stop fucking putting yourself in the fucking main event of every fucking pay-per-view. Just stop.
You know what? I gotta cut you guys off. I gotta say something. Because there was one thing worse than Shane McMahon being in this match. And I'm gonna get crucified for saying this. But I'm gonna go ahead and say it because nobody else has the fucking balls to. Kurt Angle is wearing a Raw t-shirt that's about two sizes too big for him to hide that gun. He's not in ring shape, and he looked fucking terrible. And I don't care that I'm saying it. He moved so slow. It was like somebody put James Ellsworth in there.
I got to agree with you because that interaction between him and John Cena was just so slow, and it was just so bad. And I was like, what am I watching here? Like, get these old guys out. Put in a Balor and Nakamura again. Please, let me see some good thing. I just hated this. Okay, hate's a strong word. I just didn't like it. No. Because, like, this is, like, your platform to kind of, you know, give a young superstar some stock. You know? I mean, I love how they, you know, a couple years ago, Dolph Ziggler, I mean, not that it did anything for Dolph, but Dolph was the sole survivor. Okay, let's get that straight. The sole survivor, because he was the only survivor. You know?
That's what's funny, though. I mean, you have Triple H, Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon, John Cena, Randy Orton, all the fucking guys, like, in the main event. All they are doing is collecting that main event, top four pay-per-view payday, and that's it. It's like, come on, guys, let's start pushing the future and stop fucking... All right, Shane McMahon, just stop. I'm done with your... No more matches. No more matches for you. We're done. Just fucking be the GM and sit in the back. But, yeah, I mean... They need to decide because you have Finn Balor out there, like you said, Braun Strowman, who's just a fucking beast now. It's like start thinking about what to do with these guys. Samoa Joe, all, you know, just stop it. Get out of the ring.
And Kurt, put the Twinkies down and get that ass back on the treadmill, motherfucker.
it was a weekend to enjoy. You know, this is the whole week for Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks this week for how this weekend brought us all together, right? But
you know what I'm thankful for?
What's that?
I'm thankful that Asuka was the sole survivor of the Raw Women's Team.
She is on my list. I don't want to hear. I'm sick of Asuka.
She's on the list now?
She's on the list.
It's only because she's Japanese. She's on the list. We know how you feel. I know.
Because she fucking needs to lose. Like she's it. They've backed her into a corner to like fuck. We don't know who the hell's gonna beat her. You know what I mean? And then the person who does beat her, they fucking better has to be pushed like to the moon. And I don't know. Like who do you put on this that beats her? And that's like a whole fucking show we could spend on talking about it, but it's like out of anything, this would have been the perfect opportunity to give her a loss without having her lose in a way. I mean, like she lost in a group setting, not on her own, and it would have been like, oh, okay, I understand why she lost. It's, you know, it's Survivor Series. Fucking give her the win. Get the fuck out. I'm done with her. She's on.
You know what's funny though is on Tony Schiavone's podcast, they made mention about how they're advertising her with all these video packages, and they were comparing it to, remember Glacier from WCW?
Yeah.
Okay. Where, I mean, there was constant video packages and this very, very expensive entrance of his. And it's like, it's so hard to live up to that. I mean, they're just throwing everything they can to make her look like that monster. Yet they won't let her work on the main roster the way that she would work in NXT. So it's going to be really hard, and I have to agree with them for saying this, for her to live up to that kind of push with the restrictions that they're putting on her.
It's gone too far, man. It's gone like 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
Years.
You don't like Nakamura. You don't like Kairi Sane.
I love Nakamura.
Like Asuka.
I don't like Kairi Sane.
That streak is going to continue. And WWE, if they're smart, they're going to market off of this. And they're going to make money off of this streak. It's they're all about making money. It's going to happen. I am okay with Asuka. I really am. I think she's great in the ring if you just let her perform. I thought that was probably the best thing to do is to have her the sole survivor. I mean, the last thing I want is Alicia Fox being the sole survivor. that doesn't make any sense in my mind. I mean, you're pushing Asuka. You're pushing Asuka. So it made perfect sense to get. I mean, are you mad that she got the win over Natty?
I'm not mad about that. I'm just mad that she hasn't lost yet, and she hasn't even lost in NXT to lose her title to like all that. They made her move up without even losing on NXT, so it all started with that. But anyway, you know, with this women talk, this whole weekend was great, except for that. But you know, Paige has come again. And no, I know what I just said, but Paige has returned, I meant. I didn't realize. But Paige has returned. I'm surprised. I'm surprised at the push. And I think the only reason in my personally is that The Rock's movie's coming out soon and we need her in the spotlight again. That's the only thing I know that is why they're giving her any kind of a push, major push, is because of that movie. Because we need fucking her to be relevant and on TV again. But anyway,
it's a bigger push than Xavier Woods gave her, that's for sure.
Oh, we could do this all night.
Oh yeah.
But she didn't. Can. Wait, she didn't come alone. She had Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville with her on Raw, and something else happened on SmackDown. But we'll get to that in a few. But guys, what do you think this is? What do you think this is happening? I mean, is this like a mini Women's Shield, or is this just a new faction, or what are we calling this? It's just Women's Revolution again? I don't know.
I think they just needed more people on both women's rosters. We're seeing it on Raw. And as we speak, we're watching it on SmackDown. This is necessary. I mean, we literally have divisions that have maybe 6 to 7. And I think SmackDown might only SmackDown's got 6, I believe, at the time. Like active women's wrestlers. You can't have a division with no mid card in it, you know, with just the title. So if you're not in a title picture, there's nothing there for you. And half these women, you can only have the feuds last for so long. We've pretty much seen everything we're going to see. The rosters, the way they are, and they've already been shuffled. most of these women have already wrestled each other countless times on television. So it's time to bring up some new blood. Maybe weed out some of the old broads. We could put some Alicia Foxes out the pasture, you know. we could trim a little bit of fat. Yeah, and I can't even say that because she's actually had some pretty decent matches. But you know what I'm saying? We need some new blood. We need people for Asuka to beat up on because we don't want her to go through the top girls right away, Credo. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, you said it too right there is SmackDown. With SmackDown, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan, who hasn't really touched NXT soil, if you per se, except for the Mae Young Classic, if you remember her in there. But, okay, now we have, you know, the each side beefing up a little bit, their divisions. Are they going to just be fighting for one belt? I'm thinking this could lead to a women's tag team championship or something to that effect. Maybe a six-man or six-woman tag team championship. I don't know.
Let's hope not.
I mean, do you think there's going to be too much women for one belt?
Well, there's never such thing as too many women, I'll tell you that.
Especially when you're talking about some of these bitches. My God. Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Rose, baby. Oh God, that's Bang Bang material for weeks.
When you said Paige returns, that sounds like a sequel to a porn. It really does.
Brad Maddox comes again.
You know what? I'm to go back to the Raw side. I'm actually, like, I mean, a lot of the stuff that Cooter said, I'm not going to repeat because I agree with it. It's a breath of fresh air for the women's division. And, like, as much as Paige, you know, fucked up outside of the ring, it's good to see her back on WWE TV because you know damn well she can go out there and put on an amazing match. Even a Mickie James, they're in there, and potentially a match with Asuka. You know you're going to get some good matches. So this kind of, you know, puts life back into the women's division. Now you go to the SmackDown side, and you know Ruby Riott's great in the ring too. That triple threat match they had at the Takeover, she was one of the standout performers in that match. And Liv Morgan, girl is drop dead gorgeous, beautiful.
Absolutely.
I think you know. I mean, maybe they can hide her in a three woman team. She's still a little green.
Every division needs jobbers, though, Mike, don't they? Well, we need jobbers.
I understand that, but she's not being placed as a jobber right now.
I got a job for her.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, Hulk Hogan tweeted to her, and I'm kind of confused by this. Maybe you guys can help me understand it a little bit. He tweeted at RealPage WWE, and quote, "It's really good to see you back where you belong, and I like your crew. If you really want to go evil, I'll dig in my Hollywood rule book." Period. Loves Hollywood Hulk Hogan for life.
I love
that. I know exactly what he's trying to do.
What's going on here?
He's trying to make a video.
I was going to say. But at least, yeah, Hogan, I've said it before, he's made more money on this sex tape by fucking his best friend's wife and dropping a few N-bombs than he did his entire wrestling career.
I got to say.
Bankrupted a corporation.
Okay. And I don't want to come off, you know, Paige. In a certain way. Come off, but Paige. I mean, Hogan. I mean, I've watched Hogan's sex tape. Yeah, I watched it. It's like a train wreck. You just have to watch it. And I watched Paige's sex tapes, and not for nothing, but Hogan will put these two, Brad Maddox and David Woods, put him to shame with
these packing, fucking, bro.
With that thing. He might impale Paige. She just came back, Hogan. We don't need her injured again. Come on. Give her some time.
But that's how great. He's going to give her advice? Hogan, you're the biggest fuck up. Even though you made so much money because of it, you want to give Paige advice? I'll go into my Hollywood playbook. Here's the rules. Don't fuck your best friend's wife, especially on tape, and don't drop M-bombs on there.
Oy. Interesting. Well, guys, do you think this Women's Revolution 2.0, what do you think is going to come of it? Do you think we're just expanding the rosters or something? It's kind of odd that they did it both on Monday and Tuesday. Is it or no? I don't know. It just seems weird that Raw had three women. Well, if you're going to have to count Paige, even though she returned, but three women attack, and then on SmackDown you have three women attacking. Is it coincidence, or is it just, hey, we just need to fucking expand this roster?
I think there's a lot you can do with this. Booking-wise, I mean, if it's booked correctly and booked right, it can work. Because, I mean, it, like I said before, it adds life to the women's division because, like Cooter said, it's just like we're getting the same matches over and over again and, like, the same feuds, and we need something different. Just the fact that, you know, they SmackDown did the same exact thing that Raw did, I mean, that's Vince and Kevin Dunn just thinking it's the greatest thing ever to do stuff the same way. Like, we're not going to fucking notice. Fucking
Mike,
Kevin
Dunn. How'd that conversation go?
Got Paige.
Oh, Vince.
That's Yetta. We're going to bring her back.
You sure, Vince?
Plot. We're going to bring her back with Trish Stratus.
Well, Vince.
Kevin, get Trish Stratus on the phone.
You got it, boss. You got it.
That's not Trish. Oh, they'll never notice. And then the next night on SmackDown, we're going to do a three women attack angle.
Three women?
Again?
We did it already?
We did it last night, both.
Do it again.
Just, fuck it, just do it again. They're never going to notice. These fans are dumb. And while we're at it, Roman Reigns is going to win the women's title. And he's going to win the tag title. And then the cruiserweight title.
Oh, you just made me remember. I want to get into this too with you guys. We also had something else happen on Monday Night Raw. The Miz losing to Roman Reigns the Intercontinental Championship. Now this is like the one biggest problem with Raw is that they don't have the WWE Championship every week on there. You know, the Universal title comes and goes whenever Brock's around, and that's it. But in the meantime, you have these guys that are working for nothing. Like, what are they fighting for? Okay, granted, you know, they moved The Miz from SmackDown to Raw. Miz has had a great year, great on the mic. You know, definitely a lot better than what he ever was. And you have him lose it. I find it funny because you have him lose it to the most cocky, prickish Roman Reigns now. It wasn't like, I want to match with you. I want to prove why. Or it was just like, you know what? I'm going to come in here. I'm going to be like a fucking dick, and I'm going to take the title away from you. And I'm like, the Shield is kind of like, what is going on with the Shield right now? Because it's just
corny,
like,
as fuck, isn't it? That's why I said I'm not a fan of it.
And it's like, okay, you know, Roman came back. I know we needed to get him some cheers, but fucking Ambrose is just always going to be Ambrose. Meanwhile, Seth Rollins is stuck in fucking purgatory. Fucking one of the greatest talents you have on your roster, and it's like, we don't know what to do with him, but we have to stick him back in the Shield because we need a Roman to get fucking cheered and not booed every week. And now he gets the Intercontinental Championship. Technically, yes, a mid-card title, but if they could push Roman Reigns down to the mid-card, I'm all for it. But guys, was this worth it? Do we need Roman Reigns as the Intercontinental Champion right now? I mean, is it just, now he's a Grand Slam champion or something like that? Like, really? Quote The Miz, really?
I think they just really wanted to make Roman look strong.
Make him look strong again.
So, I mean, that's why they surrounded him with, you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, because they knew how popular how popular the Shield was, and allegedly they're trying to build Roman up for Brock for WrestleMania, which I pray to God that match doesn't happen. But that's neither here nor there. But they wanted to make him look strong by putting the IC title on him, just to say that he's a Grand Slam champion, and. I mean, and if you really look at it, I mean, Roman's the guy that Vince has a hard-on for. And when you look at that Shield, before last night, Dean Ambrose was the only Grand Slam champion out of that group.
Jeez.
So they're like, Vince is like, fuck that.
Man.
Like, he's got to make Roman. Just put the title on Roman. Grand Slam champion Roman Reigns. That's you know how, like, okay, so you know how, like, when somebody wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and that fucking trophy is everywhere for like the first month? I guarantee you, come Monday on Raw, Vince is going to be in Michael Cole's ear. Bring up a Grand Slam champion. Bring it up as a Grand Slam.
Do a shot every time he says
it. Damn it.
It's going to be a drinking game.
I guarantee you. And then he's going to constantly be running that through us, like, just to make it a point. Like, all right, we get it. He's a fucking Grand Slam champion. You want to make him strong because you want to build him up for Lesnar. Like I fucking care.
I said this last week. The Shield has become a nostalgia act, much like the second coming of DX when Triple H and Shawn Michaels reunited. It wasn't that same DX. It wasn't that gritty rated R. It was so watered down. And the Shield has become the same thing. Just that cheesy nostalgia act. Like, I was okay when it was just Rollins and Ambrose. And you knew that eventually you would get Roman. But I just kind of wish that they would, here and there, that they wouldn't be like butt buddies.
Yeah.
Like, the whole focus is like, now on Roman, as opposed to that great buildup that we had with Ambrose and Rollins, which basically brought back Ambrose, who was fucking, like, just terrible. Yeah. Everybody was complaining about him for so fucking long. And now we got, all right, you guys, we're going to waste your careers just to make Roman look strong.
Yeah. That's exactly what they should have done. They should have did, like, the Justice League. They only come together when we need them. Like, yes. Roman could have still been just doing singles. Seth doing singles. And it's like, use the Shield whenever.
Batman movie, bitches.
Like the fucking demon Finn Balor. Like, he doesn't fucking come out the paint anymore like he used to do back in the indies. Like, just have the Shield come together only when you need them, kind of a thing. And now it's just like, I'm over the Shield already, and they've kind of, like, threw it down our throats too much, too fast, too many. I don't know. Just, it's like, all right, fucking back to hating Roman. Again. Turn that page.
Blame it on the mumps.
Where's meningitis when you need it again, man?
Jeez. Fucking mumps.
Well, guys, you know, with that happening, it's just another sour week, and just people are going to just keep making the list of Credo more and more. But did you happen to catch that 365 Kevin Owens show at all, or no?
Part of it. I did watch some of it.
I'll tell you what, it's definitely making the network like, wow, I gotta get this. And, you know, it's almost like the 30 for 30 on ESPN. It's a great, like, little documentary series, but I'll tell you what. They need to come up with series that aren't fucking taking a year in the making, because it's like you only have one now. They need something that's like, hey, you can have one a month or something like that. And, man, now we got to wait till the next one till next year. It's like, geez, they need to start doing monthly stuff and not 365. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Cause
I thought it was a cool concept.
Definitely, I really did. Sure. It's definitely awesome.
It really got you to see how passionate Kevin Owens is about, you know, being perfect. And, you know, as much as we, you know, shit on Vince, like, he really cares about what Vince says.
Yeah.
And then that interaction between him and Vince when he's like, are we good? And Vince is like, no. How awkward is that? Like, you saw Kevin was just standing there like,
what
I don't
do you
know.
Do?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do in that situation? And then
what happened? You know, I don't even know what you're speaking of.
So WrestleMania, the match between him and Chris Jericho, Vince was not a fan of it. He was not happy. So at WrestleMania, like, in Gorilla, like, first of all, I mean, maybe it's just me, but, like, during WrestleMania, I wouldn't even go to Vince during the show. I would just, you know, stay back. They showed Kevin Owens going into Gorilla during WrestleMania while a match was in progress.
Vince is watching
and Vince is watching the match and, like, going over stuff, and he just goes, are we good? Meaning, like, was the match good? And Vince was like, no. Like, just, like, he just snarled no. Like, just, like, okay, well.
Shit.
And Kevin Owens just stood there. Like, it was just so awkward the way, like, just no one was saying anything. Like, Road Dogg was just sitting there looking down, and then no one said a word. But overall, I thought the 365 was great. I mean, everyone was shitting on the fact that Michael Rappaport was narrating.
I know, I was like,
it was different.
I did send out a tweet, though. I did say, Does the whole 365 end with him wrestling on the pre-show this weekend? I'm like, fuck, man. After all that, they're promoting it, and you fucking stick the guy who's going to be after Survivor Series on the fucking pre-show. You think he would have been, well, okay, yeah, he did the run-in at the end or something. But still, I mean, you think he would have had a match, and I don't know. I just thought it was funny. 365, and now I'm on the pre-show.
The rise and fall of Kevin Owens.
Ugh, that's it, guys. So, you know, there a lot of shit happened, though. It was a crazy weekend. We got to give thanks again, though. But, you know, Cooter, last week you took me to court. I gave my case. You gave your case. And now the honorable minority Mike is stepping in to judge us. So I think we need to figure out who's walking away the winner of this debate.
I guess court's in session. So I know the listeners probably haven't heard last week. So if you two can briefly, quickly, just, you know, state your cases as quickly and briefly as you possibly can, sum it up, please.
Well, Your Honor, basically, I had a little bit of some gripes with the whole Charlotte Flair winning the women's championship again 1 week before Survivor Series. I basically, we came off a week where her daddy was on 30 for 30 and we got to see his career, and then all of a sudden a few days later Charlotte wins the women's championship again for the 20th time in 2 years. My whole point is that basically she's being made into a champion too many times within a short amount of time. It's like, we don't need a six-time women's champion when it's only been around for like 2 years, if that. So my whole gripe is basically favoritism. You're only giving it to her because of who her daddy is, not because of other things going on. I feel like there was plenty of other women we could have given the championship to. We didn't need another Reign.
Credo, he said briefly.
And basically, that's it. And Your Honor, I want to let you know that, you know, I didn't step on Angry Cooter's time. That's all.
Fuck off. All right. Yes, we're putting the belt on her because of her daddy's name. We get it. But guess what? In this day and age, this is still a business, and that name draws dollars. So yes, I'm okay with it. And don't be fooled. I said last week, it's not because he doesn't, because of the favoritism. He's a heart mark. It starts with Brett and his partner, Jim the Anvil. He loves the Heart Foundation. He's just mad that Natty lost the belt. Objections. The other thing is, wait. Let's also just note that three of those title losses were to Sasha Banks in a six-month period, and that's not her fault. That's just shit booking from a shitty writing team that has nothing to do with her. I mean, honestly, we could easily say she's a three-time champion, and it would be the exact same fucking thing. It doesn't really matter at this point.
Well,
nobody's doing it better than Charlotte.
Well, just like Charlotte's titties, this argument is lopsided. Matt. I had to throw that out there. I really did. I get both arguments. I really do. It's Survivor Series season, so you know a heart's got to get screwed sooner or later. I mean, and I understand the favoritism, but I also understand that they got to make their money. Right. And I don't dislike Charlotte in the ring. I don't dislike Natty, but I don't dislike Charlotte. And I think Charlotte is a great performer when it comes time. So, I mean, I am actually in favor of being okay with Charlotte being your women's champion.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. That's a lovely robe you're wearing, Your Honor. Let me just say, yes.
Yeah, it's a Hugh Hefner robe.
All right. You won't be wearing it in front of Charlotte's titties, that's for sure.
I'd still play with them.
Would you really?
Yeah, why not? So I could just come on the podcast the following week and say, hey, guess what I did, guys? How was your weekend?
Oh, God, it's like watching Jeepers Creepers.
I'd still have fun with those things. I'd still do it.
Another, there you go, guys. A Mark Court ending in lopsidedness. Till next
lopsided
time.
Lopsided victory.
Till next time on Mark Court, we'll have Well, so we'll see what happens. I guess, you know, whenever it happens, whenever we're talking, if we want to bring, you know, somebody else to court, feel free to make your case. And one of us will be the judge, jury, and executioner. Guys, but, you know, it is Thanksgiving week. We're giving thanks. A lot of times we talk on the show and it sounds like we're just shitting on everything. We love pro wrestling. We wouldn't have a fucking podcast if we didn't love pro wrestling. So, you know, this week, guys, let's just take a step back. Let's have some positivity and let's give thanks to some of the things that maybe happened this year that we truly loved. You know, Cooter, I'm going to throw you under the Thanksgiving bus. And just maybe, can you give us some examples of things that have happened this year in the pro wrestling world?
Yes.
Anything that's happened that maybe you're like, wow, I love being a fan, or just anything you want to give thanks to?
Two things that come to mind. One being, I'm thankful that The Undertaker is finally done. And I really believe that he's done. I don't say that to be mean, but I just say that because it's just been so bad the last few years. I don't want him to be the next Ric Flair and really tarnish his legacy. The other thing that I'm very grateful for is the most over heel in the business. This hacker who has brought us the good, the bad, and the terrible. Yes, we're talking about Charlotte Flair's titties again. For all of these great leaks, I am very thankful for whoever this, I don't know, wannabe deep throat agent is, shall we say. So, yeah, that's what I'm thankful for.
All right. Well, Mike, what are you thankful for this holiday Mark season, or just in general? What happened this year that, you know, you're just really happy about?
I'm just thankful that there's so many options of professional wrestling, not just WWE. There's stuff outside of it. Like, if I get aggravated with the WWE product, I'll just turn on some Evolve Wrestling because there's no storylines. Well, there are storylines, but not as storyline heavy. And some PWG. I'm just so thankful that there are different options of where I want to watch my professional wrestling, because at the end of the day, I'm just a huge professional wrestling mark. So I just like to, you know, I like the different options, you know. And I'm also thankful for Miss Mandy Rose, how beautiful she is. And Vince is sitting back in his chair, going senile, thinking that it's Trish Stratus standing next to him. Because she looks like Trish Stratus. And the whole time he's leaning over to Kevin Dunn, he's like, "That's not Trish! I thought you called Trish!"
She's got a way better ass than Trish. She way better out. Ass.
And I gotta, and she is one of the true winners of Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And she's a winner in my heart, and soon, hopefully one day, a winner in my bed.
Well, there you go. You know, well, Cooter, don't take this the wrong way, but I am thankful for the angry mom. Because if you guys listen to the beginning of the show, there's also stuff at the end of the show, and she's been a staple out there. So I am thankful, Mrs. Angry Mom Cooter, just adding to the show. If you hear her, I think we actually got a taste of the angry dad, too. We'll have to get more of him, but, you know, maybe we'll get an angry Thanksgiving family sit-around for this week's show. But, guys, that's definitely one thing. Mrs. Angry Mom has definitely added to the beginning and end of each show, so make sure you check out the very end as well as the very beginning, because it's just made my day, especially putting these shows together. Another thing I am thankful for has to be just the network, and I'm not saying WWE Network, but I'm talking about all streaming, even YouTube, just wrestling. I mean, we grew up in an age where we were fucking buying VHS tapes and going to stores and trying to watch this shit all the time, and now it's like, it's at the tip of our fingers. Kids today will just not know what we had to go through to watch pro wrestling, what we love so much. I'm thankful that we're at this era of the streaming of these kind of networks and stuff, just that pro wrestling is easily accessible at the, you know, any which way you go on the internet. And lastly, guys, I am thankful for Angry Cooter and Minority Mike joining me each and every week to talk pro wrestling, because if they weren't here, it would just be me talking for a fucking hour like some of these other podcasts out there. Like, who the fuck wants to listen to one person talk the whole time? Guys, I'm thankful.
I got Did I tell you I got kicked off, boys?
You were kicked off the show?
Again.
I didn't make it. I was too busy with my life.
So. My gosh. Kicking off.
Sorry, Steve. I just really was actually busy with my life.
Wow, guys. What another Thanksgiving. Another time to be giving thanks. And we at Another Wrestling Podcast wish you nothing but a happy Thanksgiving.
What, you fucked up the squash? How do you fuck up squash? That's impossible, Ma.
Yeah,
is this what you do? You just ignore me?
Yep.
Listen, I basted your girlfriend.
You basted my girlfriend?
I basted your girlfriend.
You're sick fuck, you know that?
I basted her like a turkey did. I would baste a turkey.
I was covered in turkey gravy.
He thinks I'm kidding him.
You're fucked up.